Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Number 38 and Bet Online. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am very excited to talk about the NBA draft. Very excited to talk about Daron Holmes II. Gonna be very interesting to see what the Nuggets do from here, but this was the first step, and I think a very good first step for the Denver Nuggets in this offseason. Thank you so much to everybody for hanging out. Really quick, I see all of the comments. I see all of the concerns about KCP. I see everything here. We will get to that in the third segment, but I want to give Daron Holmes and the Nuggets the time of day. We'll get to that in the third segment, I promise. It'll come up. I will talk about the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope comments from Calvin Booth and how he will... It looks like he's probably not going to be back. But we will get into that in just a little bit. Should be a lot of fun, though. Very excited to be a part of things here with this community. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Would greatly appreciate it. Really quick, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by good friends over at BetOnline, who are the number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer to all the fighting sports, MMA, boxing, UFC, every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games and matchups are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack, poker, or slots. Head to their website today to get in on the action and use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. Okay, let's get into it. Let's start, as I mentioned, with Daron Holmes. First segment, we're going to talk about the player. Second, we're going to talk about the fit. Third segment, we'll talk about the Calvin Booth comments towards the end, and especially focused on KCP. I love this fit. If you've been following along on the podcast, if you've been discussing this along with me, by the way, everybody, pipe down in the comments. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to ban anybody. Please don't get into fights. This doesn't matter that much. This is going to be a great fit for Daron Holmes and for the Nuggets. Daron Holmes is going to be fantastic, I think. I don't want to set the bar too high because, as you guys know, I've talked about this, the draft, I am very much a fake it till you make it kind of draft analyst, especially at this stage of my media career. But the people that I trust, the people that I like to listen to about their draft analysis, especially ones that I believe in, especially CT Fazio, who I had on last week, they have assured me that this is going to be a good fit, that this is going to be a player that works out. And I believe them. I believe them based off of what Daron Holmes seems to be all about. I believe it based off of the skill set that I've watched. I think that he is going to be a very good player, and was severely undervalued in this draft. Daron Holmes is a 6'9", slightly undersized center who has the skill set to play some power forward in some two big lineups. Calvin Booth actually talked about that today and thinks that he could play power forward in the future. I think that that is a very interesting note, given that Aaron Gordon's contract will eventually be up and he could be very pricey as well. So Daron Holmes is going to be very helpful for this Nuggets team. 20 points per game in college during his junior year, 8 rebounds, close to 3 assists, 2 blocks. He's labeled as a versatile player, somebody who can do a variety of different things, who can handle a bunch of different assignments, and was the clear fulcrum and first option for Dayton over this last year, and was great. Dayton was very, very good. They won games in the NCAA tournament, and Holmes was just one of those guys that you absolutely believe in from the skill set that he's putting out there. There are some concerns about his ability to adjust to NBA-level speed and athleticism and things like that, but when I hear comments like that, I often think of them as sort of excuses. Like, yeah, he didn't play at a premier blue blood program like a Duke or like a Kentucky or somewhere like that. He played at Dayton. He played against some weak competition, but that was a very large point against somebody like Jalen Williams early on in his process at Santa Clara, who's now killing it for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Daron Holmes, is very clearly underrated in this entire process. He's got a skill set. He can pick and pop. He can pick and roll and finish with the lobs. He can pass. He can rebound. He can dribble. Like, he has dribble moves to his game. He can post up. He's not the most dynamic post-up guy, but he's got a post game. And having somebody as a center that can do those things is something the Nuggets haven't had on their team. It's one of the reasons, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, it's one of the reasons why I think he's going to play sooner rather than later, especially if the Nuggets don't add a clear option as their backup center in free agency. But as it stands right now, I really like his ability to rebound, to run, to switch on defense, to have help side blocks. Like, there's a lot to like about his game, and he's enough of an athlete that he's not going to get overwhelmed, in my opinion. There's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of questions. Cedric is very upset right now because of the playoff or because of the KCP news. But will we utilize him if the playoffs come? That's up to Michael Malone, and that's up to Daron Holmes for developing. All Calvin Booth can do is give good players, give a good option. And as I know, as you guys know, I've been pretty critical of Calvin Booth over the course of the last year. I've been pretty critical of some of the decisions that he's made, of the way that they handled the draft last year, rather than consolidate those picks. They actually added 3 separate rookie contract players, rather than getting one perfect player to continue to add to the developmental pipeline. This is different. This is absolutely different. Daron Holmes is the ideal pick for the Nuggets at this stage in where they are. He is the right blend of good enough to play now, or at least justifiable to play now, with enough upside to be better and to be an impactful playoff player at some point in the early stages of his career. I don't know if it's going to be in year one. I don't know if it's going to be in year two. But what I do know is that he has the talent to get to that level. And he has the versatility that it's not just going to be as a backup center, in my opinion. Now, he's got to make important choices like not screwing up his shot form and developing some hesitation around the rim as a finisher. He's got to be strong. He's got to be athletic. He's got to be tough. And he's got to be crafty. But the good thing is he's put all of that on film. He's put all of it. And I see him as a player that can handle that burden. Maybe a little bit better than Zeke Nagy has. But maybe even a little bit better than Peyton Watson did. And Peyton Watson got some really good reps during this regular season. But there were weaknesses in his game. Strength weaknesses. Not necessarily a defined role on the offensive end. With Holmes, it's very simple. He's either going to be your four in your Aaron Gordon role, who's going to sometimes be in the dunker spot or be at the three-point line, or he's going to be your five, and he's going to be involved in ball screens, pick and roll, pick and pop. He'll be DHOing, and he's got the hands, and he's got the game, and he's got the smarts and savvy, I think, to understand what the Nuggets want from that. The one thing that they have needed is somebody that can do stuff at their backup center. They haven't had it in a while. DeMarcus Cousins could do stuff. The reason why he's not in the league right now is there's a physical thing. He's also a little bit older, couldn't move on the defensive end. Holmes can, and he can also do stuff. I am really high on this pick. I think that this is going to be a very, very good move that looks great for Calvin Booth. I mean, over the moon is, I think, a proper description for it. You never want to hype these things up too much because your preconceived notions of what the draft is going to be, I think that's a problem. Like, sometimes that can be a little bit tough. Hurricane says Cousins was bigger, faster, and stronger than Holmes. Definitely not faster. I don't know if you watched Cousins especially at his Nuggets stage of his career. He was bigger, he was stronger, but he was definitely not faster. There's no way about that. Holmes can move. Holmes can move. He is athletic. He is versatile. He can get up. This is a good thing for Denver. I think that there's a lot to be excited about here. And the Nuggets got their guy. It was very clear from the early going in this process that they wanted Holmes. Calvin Booth talked about a promise. He said that it wasn't actually a promise. He didn't say it in really uncertain terms there, but he said that if the Nuggets got into a position where they could get Holmes, they were going to try. They had identified him from an early going as a player that they could use. And here's the thing. I don't think that, like, I think that this is a good Michael Malone pick as well. I guess I could talk about that a little bit in the second segment, but this is not just a Calvin Booth pick. This is a Michael Malone pick as well. I think that there's a lot to be excited about there. Yeah, Hurricane. I mean, Prime Boogie, it's different, obviously. Like, I am not comparing Daron Holmes to an all-star, one of the best big men in the mid-2010s. That's definitely not what I'm trying to do. I do think that he is a starter caliber player at his ceiling, though. I think that there's some... There's some Miles Turner here. He's probably not as tall. He's not as tall as Miles Turner. Probably not going to ultimately be the rim protector that he is. But there is some Miles Turner. There's some Al Horford to his game. There is plenty there. There's some Naz Reid to his game. And True Teller actually says that here. Naz Reid. If Denver added Naz Reid to their bench, how happy would everybody be? Nikola Jokic would be very happy because he wouldn't be playing 35 minutes every night. And he might even be able to play next to Jokic. How awesome is that? I'm curious to see how it goes. I'm curious to see what they ultimately do. And I'm curious to see how this rotation continues to pan out here, because this is a great start. I really love this. I think that Daron Holmes is going to be one of those guys that the Nuggets, because they identified early in the process, because they got in on, and because they leapfrogged some other teams that could have selected him. Like, I have no doubt that Minnesota would have selected him. I have no doubt that New York would have selected him if he was on the board. Milwaukee, like, they leapfrogged Milwaukee at 23. Have a very strong feeling that Milwaukee was considering him at 23. So, this was a great move, in my opinion. And he is the right blend of talent, fit, and expected level of impact immediately. This is going to be good. I think Calvin Booth gets an A here. Like, he probably not an A+, because he had to give up 3 second-round picks in order to get him. But second-round picks are the necessary thing in order to do it. Manny asks, why would Minnesota draft Holmes? Well, they drafted Rob Dillingham at 8th overall. That was an interesting move, by the way. How about that? They are going to get very expensive, and they cannot keep all three of Towns, Gobert, and Naz Reid together from a money standpoint. I really do think that they're going to give that one more year, and then if it doesn't work out, they'll trade Towns. That's my thinking. So you get somebody like Holmes to be in the pipeline and be your third big at that point. So, look, we're going to see. There is always an opportunity for me to be wrong. I will be the first one to let you know that I was wrong in a situation. I don't think I'm wrong here. I think that this is going to work out really well. I'm excited to watch him in Summer League. This is going to be very cool. Cool. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about, can Daron Holmes play immediately for this Nuggets team, and what would his role actually look like? We will be right back. But first, this podcast, as you know, is brought to you by our good friends over at Number 38, who are a fantastic resource when you are trying to go hang out, when you're trying to go watch a Nuggets game. If you wanted to watch the NBA draft, Number 38 is a great place to be. They take care of you. They've got these wristbands that they'll put on. All you got to do is you got to scan your wristband, and that will be your tab for the evening. Go get a wristband. It's free. And scan your wristband. Eat as much as you want. Drink as much as you want. Then when you're done, pay at the end. Very easy process. They make it so easy for you to spend money, but you'll have fun during the process. So it's always a great, great opportunity to be there. We love our friends over at Number 38 in Rhino. Make sure to go check them out and let them know that you came from Mile High Sports. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackman here. Please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Make sure to share out this podcast, share out the video. Always doing my best to put out the best possible content for Denver Nuggets fans. I was at the draft, or not at the draft, I was at Ball Arena tonight, cracking jokes, having a fun time. And then 22nd overall pick, I missed it. I was talking with somebody, and Jake Shapiro from Denver Sports walks in, and he's like, great timing. Denver just picked Holmes. I'm like, it's pick 22. And they had traded with the Phoenix Suns. I think that Holmes has a great chance to play immediately. I don't know if that's ultimately going to be the plan. And I would actually, like, if I were building, and I've done this before, I've shown different rotation charts and salary cap charts and things like that of what I think Denver should do or scenarios that they could go through. I think that Holmes should not play immediately, or Denver should get a backup center that is good enough that can kind of hold down the fort temporarily, but not so good that Holmes can't pass them in the rotation at some point during this season. I don't know what the Nuggets backup center and backup power forward situation is going to look like. Vlatko Chanchar is currently unrestricted, but it sounds like they are trying to work to bring him back. Zeke Nnaji is under contract. But if I can kind of envision a scenario, let's just say, where they are forced to trade Zeke Nnaji, and it's in his interest, it's in the Nuggets' best interest to trade him to a place and get a fresh scenery. That's going to be an important thing for Denver in this process. What do they do with Zeke Nnaji? Because they basically just drafted his replacement. DeAndre Jordan is an unrestricted free agent right now. Whether they bring him back or not, I think, is more in relation to how many roster spots they have and whether he actually wants to come back. Because let's face it, Denver can't have DeAndre Jordan as in their plans for what their roster looks like if they really want to win a title and they need all of those roster spots. Yes, there can be a place for DeAndre Jordan, but if it also includes Hunter Tyson, Jalen Pickett, Vlatko Chanchar, and let's say they bring back Justin Holiday, let's say you've also got Julian Strother, it kind of gets crowded at the back end of the rotation really quickly, and I'm not sure that Denver should want that. So, my opinion, I think that Denver is probably going to cycle out Zeke Nnaji and DeAndre Jordan, which means that there is technically an opening for Daron Holmes. I've mentioned in different articles, whether it is whether it's the 25 trade targets, free agency targets, or anything like that. I've mentioned players like Daniel Tice, Dario Saric. Robert Williams is not one that I mentioned, but he'd be interesting. Kelly Olynyk is a player that they could trade for, but now that they have Daron Holmes in hand, not necessarily super excited about adding a guy like Kelly Olynyk, because I think he's too good to block a player like Holmes from playing, even if he would be helpful. And besides, Denver should be trying to maximize their roster as best as they can. The only way that they could add a player like that is if they lost KCP, which sounds like it's going to happen. But then if you lose KCP, there is something to be said about trying to add something in the backcourt to kind of replace him in some way, whether it's as a starter or as a bench guy. I don't really know. Reggie Jackson has opted in. He might be a part of the future plans. He might not. So I think the Nuggets are going to have to get creative. But from the perspective of Holmes specifically, I think that there is a path to play. Think about it from this perspective. Jokic is penciled in for 33, 34 minutes a night. Lots of folks want to talk about bringing that number down. I'm not necessarily worried about that. I'm more worried about him playing 79 games. He didn't need to play 79 games this last year. Denver won 57. They did not need him to win all of those games. They probably should have just sat him the last five games of the season, if I'm being honest. They don't necessarily need somebody to play more than 14 to 15 minutes a night as a backup center. The problem was that Zeke Nnaji was averaging 10 minutes a night because more often than not, his first stint in a game was so bad that the Nuggets decided to go away from him in the second half. Or they cut down his stint really short in those cases where it's 4 minutes in the first half, 6 minutes in the second half, only playing 10 minutes because, and Jokic is playing 38. And that's just not good enough, obviously. So, there is room in the rotation for Holmes to play a pretty consistent bench role, for him to be the backup center. Maybe Denver could add a backup center, and then in certain circumstances, Holmes plays the backup power forward. He plays the four, some other guy plays the five. Let's say it's Dario Saric. I could see Holmes and Saric playing together. Both of them can shoot, both of them can pass, both of them can move. Seems like a pretty interesting fit. But I'm curious to see what Denver does with it. There's a lot of ways that they could do it. As I mentioned in the first segment, I think this is a Michael Malone pick too, just as much as it's a Calvin Booth pick. With Calvin Booth, like, you're looking for older guys, players that are ready to draft, or ready to play now, guys that have been 3, 4, 5 year college players. That's his modus operandi. That's what he does. And he actually said as much in this particular press conference. Michael Malone likes smart players. He likes players that are defensively intelligent. They are capable of doing different things. They are not limited from a skill set standpoint. He likes hard workers. Holmes is all of those things. And I think what Malone is going to like about him is he's going to be able to handle different things on the offensive and defensive end from a strategy standpoint, from a scheme standpoint. He's versatile. He can do different things. He could play in a drop. He could play up at the level. He could play as a switching defender. He could play at the four. He could play at the five. And when you give Michael Malone a tool in the toolbox to be able to deploy, he's happy with that. He's willing to do that. And he's willing to try with kinds of players like these. I think this is a great fit for Michael Malone to say, okay, I understand that there is a way of doing things now with the second tax apron being as limiting as it is, the vision that the Nuggets have of playing young guys, trying to get them up to speed, trying to get them ready to compete. If you're going to do it that way, then you might as well get the best possible player that you could. And I was worried, like I said, about drafting three different players, giving a whole bunch of different options to Michael Malone, but not necessarily the right one. Because you'd rather give Michael Malone one option that is really good, that's ready, that is clearly going to be a future part of the team, that you understand how valuable they can be, versus somebody like a, or not somebody, like not somebody specific, but when you do what Denver did in the draft last year, where you give three different players, Julian Strother, Jalen Pickett, Hunter Tyson, it's hard to get minutes for all of them, or any of them, let alone all of them, in those cases. So I like what they did, where they consolidated, they identified the right player that they needed to, and I think that he's going to play. I think that the Nuggets could build their rotation out so that they have Holmes play the backup minutes initially behind Jokic, or they have some other veteran center that comes in, wins the job over Holmes, and forces Holmes to work harder and earn the spot, a la Michael Porter Jr. back in the day, where they had Torrey Craig over him. That's going to be interesting. But I think that they could do 14 to 16 minutes of Deron Holmes pretty much every single game at the point where he actually earns it. And then playoffs, we'll see. We'll see if he's ready in the playoffs. I think he'll eventually be ready, but I am very confident that by the end of his rookie contract, he's going to be a stable contributor to what the Nuggets are doing. I believe it. I think it's going to be good. Okay, let's take another break. When we come back, we are going to chat about what Calvin Booth said about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I know a lot of you are in here. I see the comments. A lot of you are in here about what Calvin Booth actually said to me at the draft tonight, or at Ball Arena tonight. We'll go over all of his comments about KCP in just a little bit. But first, this message from Scott DeHuff.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings Menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
We're back. Final segment, pick, axe, and roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Okay, I'm going to go to this layout in the top right corner. For those that are listening on the audio side, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. That would be very helpful. Can you guys see that? Can you guys see that? This area right here? What Vinny says about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Gonna be fascinating. I'm going to go to that real quick. Hopefully this is still up on that screen. Actually, let's try to close up even more. Okay. So here are the comments that Calvin Booth had about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope that a lot of people are getting up in arms about. I asked him about the second tax apron, the plenty of options that the Nuggets are having for, it's really hard. And he mentioned this at the beginning, where it's really hard to talk about adding talent when the starting lineup is as pricey as it is and the second apron is constructed the way that it is. So natural follow-up to that was, hey, has that shaped your conversations with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? And he made sure to mention that KCP was a free agent. He's an unrestricted free agent, that he can do what he wants, and that if he doesn't want to be here, then that's his prerogative. I'm going to read this from Vinny, who did a good job transcribing it. I would have transcribed it. I didn't have time. Shout out to Vinny of the Denver Gazette. Quote, "We have to look at everything. The nature of free agency is he's unrestricted, so we can try to bring him back, and if he doesn't want to come back or he opts out to go somewhere else, like, that's his prerogative. Quote, we'll have to work with that. I think we're prepared to plug and play, so to speak. I think when you look at some of the teams that have been good in the past, they have to find a way to replace fourth, fifth starters, sixth men off the bench, and still keep rolling. It would be nice if he's back. They have a lot of continuity together. But I think all the stuff I've looked at, lineup data and everything, Christian Brown is one of the best net rating guys in the league, as is KCP. Quote, I think if he's to step into the starting lineup, like probably projected, I think we'll be okay if KCP doesn't return. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. Here's where we are at with this. I've said this pretty consistently on this podcast. I've said this pretty consistently on other platforms, on Twitter, on everything, that KCP is likely to go. That it's become kind of a development over the course of this last week or two, but it has pointed towards the Nuggets not being in a position where they can retain him from a financial standpoint. And people are not going to want to hear that because they heard the same thing with Bruce Brown. But it wasn't like this was even more limiting in the Bruce Brown perspective than it is now, because they actually couldn't like legally give Bruce Brown the money that they can give to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. What I have tried to express to people is that the second tax apron, which is a new thing, is something that has the league scared. Everybody is frightened of this thing, man. It's one of the reasons why the trades, why all of the moves have been so limited. And it's been a lot of shifting deck chairs, not necessarily making these massive moves, other than the New York Knicks, who have Jalen Brunson, who's making $25 million a year as their largest contract, or close to it. Now they'll have OG Anunoby doing the largest contract thing, but teams that are in that position are a little bit different than the team like the Nuggets, who have Jokic on a supermax, who have Jamal Murray about to make very close to the max, and have Michael Porter on his own max. Very few teams have three $35-plus million players on their roster, and on top of that, they have Aaron Gordon, who is also making $20-plus million too. So if you add another $20-plus million guy, what it forces you to do is only draft or only select minimum contract free agents. That's all you can do. It locks you into this team. And if Denver has any hesitations that KCP's aging not necessarily that well, that they need a little bit more offensive creation in their second unit, there's no way for them to change that unless they let KCP go. And now, I've heard the argument from people that you can just sign KCP and then trade him later. Everybody else is watching the same thing, man. Everybody else. And everybody is thinking the same thing when they're trying to acquire a fourth or fifth best starter for a team. Okay, can we afford this player? Is what this player does worth the contract that they are about to get? And for KCP, who averages about 10 points per game, 3 rebounds, an assist or two, it may not be worth it, because Denver can replace the defense. They believe that. Calvin Booth, more than anybody, believes that. He knows that Christian Brown's very good on that end. That Peyton Watson, who he very much believes in, is excellent on that end. And also, that KCP, as he continues to age, is probably going to slow down on the defensive end too. This was a contract year kind of defensive performance from KCP. And he's very good. Very important. I understand the value of it. But when you're trying to forecast what this team is going to be going forward, this is the circle of life. This is what is required for every team. Sometimes, and as he mentioned, sometimes you're going to have to lose fourth or fifth or sixth best players in order to ensure that the core stays together. If he was willing to trade Michael Porter Jr., or if Denver could trade Michael Porter Jr., he doesn't have any value, then this might be a different conversation. But the fact is that Michael Porter doesn't have trade value. He is a fourth option, third or fourth best player on a team who's making second best player money. And the Nuggets at this point are going to have to find another solution, in my opinion. I think that they can get about as much as they need to from Christian Brown, Peyton Watson. Let's say they bring back Justin Holliday. You can get Justin Holliday, too. I think that KCP's role is replaceable. I do. I've said this at, like, very consistently. You can win a championship without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He was the right player at the right time for Denver to win in 2023. Is he going to be the right player for Denver at the right time in 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028? I sort of doubt that. And guys like Peyton Watson and Christian Brown are going to need those contracts too. So I have compared Christian Brown on this platform, on others, to Dante DiVincenzo, who was a really solid starter for the Milwaukee Bucks in his third season. They played really well. They were very good. And then they traded him because he got hurt. And then he ultimately became a very important rotation piece, starter even, for the New York Knicks. Though it took a little bit. This is going to be fascinating for a lot of people. A lot of people have their preconceived notions. True Teller says, LOL, Peyton can't shoot. There's a reason he wasn't in the rotation in the playoffs. KCP shot 32% from three. This isn't like he was this unbelievable knockdown shooter. Lots of teams dared him to shoot, and he couldn't actually make him pay. He wasn't good enough. Everybody wasn't good enough. Everybody shares faults. But as the Nuggets continue to trend younger, as they continue to try to thread the needle between a rebuild, not a rebuild, between like championship contention and like building for this next generation around Jokic again, I understand why Calvin Booth is saying what he's saying. Now, was it too inflammatory? Probably. Calvin Booth is like that. He is very straightforward. He's to the point. He knows what he's going to say. And he's not going to beat around the bush about it. He's been very clear about that from day one. And I like that about him. It's abrasive for some people. Some people are going to react to it differently. But I like that about Cal. I do know that the Nuggets can do more things with other players like Reggie Jackson and Zeke Nagy if KCP leaves. Because here's another scenario that people are not really acknowledging. If KCP stays, let's say he resigns, and it could still happen, by the way. Denver's gearing up for KCP to probably be gone, but it could still happen. It's possible. I'm not going to rule it out, and I'm sure Calvin Booth won't rule it out either. But let's say KCP go. Oh, let's say he's here. How are you going to trade Zeke Nagy? You can't combine him and his $8.9 million with Reggie Jackson. So who's going to take on Zeke Nagy, and are you going to get anything back? Are you going to get anything of value? Who are you going to add to be the backup point guard? How are you going to do that? Can you trade Reggie Jackson's $5.2 million and a pick for something, maybe? Oh, and by the way, if they try to do a deal like that, you got to take back somebody who makes less than $5.2 million. If you trade Zeke Nagy for a backup point guard, you have $8.8 million that you can play around with. So they could try to acquire somebody like Vasa Micic. They could try to acquire Javon Carter. Maybe they could even be big in their britches and try to go get Ayo Dosunmu from Chicago. He'd be an interesting ad. I would be very interesting. I'd be very, very interesting in trying to see that. But the second apron is a really tough barrier competitively for a team like the Nuggets. It is forcing them to do this. This comment from Carl is interesting. From Carl, Booth is trying to hoodwink us into thinking the cap is like the NFL hard cap when the NBA will always be more like baseball, and the real reason you're letting him go is because you are cheap. It's just not true. Like, there is a certain level where they would be willing to go to for KCP. But KCP's probably going to get like $25 million a year. Like, that's more than Aaron Gordon's being paid. He's not better than Aaron Gordon. What are we doing? And Aaron Gordon was being paid like people were criticizing the Aaron Gordon contract before. Oh, yeah, it made a lot of sense that they were doing that. Like, you're really going to pay $25 million to retain a guy who's averaging 10 points per game and is a very strong defensive player, but if you recall, was not the guy that Denver had on Anthony Edwards by the end of that series. They had Christian Brown out there as much as possible. The second apron is a killer, and people are not acknowledging it and understanding it at all. And I've been trying very, very hard to make sure that people understand it. They are locked in to their team, and if they're wrong, they're dead. If they bring back KCP. If they don't bring back KCP, I've put forth a couple of different kinds of deals where they could trade for Bogdan Bogdanovic. Trade for somebody like a Kevin Huerter and replace him at least in the interim. Go get Dorian Finney-Smith, who would be a very helpful veteran for them. I'm not sure they're going to ultimately do that. But what I do know, I guess I should look this up for people so that they understand. NBA.com. If I go to lineup data and go find all of the lineups that had Christian Brown, Nikola Jokic, and Jamal Murray in it. Let's go Brown, Murray, and Jokic. During the playoffs, that group was a subpar unit. During the regular season this last year, oh shit, I've got to do it again. Brown, Murray. Lineups that featured Jamal Murray, Christian Brown, and Nikola Jokic in the regular season this last year. 122.2 offensive rating, 96 defensive rating, 26.1 net rating. Plus 26.1. Guys, they were so fucking good when those three were on the floor. And you added Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon. I think they're going to be okay. I think people are panicking over a situation where they probably shouldn't. It's 200 minutes, bad court. So this isn't like this massive sample size. But I do think that they continue to go to that. And it wasn't primarily versus bench units. This was like first sub kind of thing for different lineups. Or was when Murray was staying on the floor in the mid-third. That's around when I would say it. There will be an adjustment that is going. It's going to be some growing pains, but that's what happens when you're a third-year player. But this is just the circle of life. This is how this works, and this is how I am trying to get people to understand that it is not the sky falling if this happens. Denver has more flexibility. They can use the taxpayer mid-level exception. They can trade players. They can aggregate contracts if they stay below the second apron. And they also, if they're not above the second apron, they can use their future they can use their future picks and trades. They would not be able to do that otherwise. So this is a perfectly reasonable thing that Denver is doing. It's a perfectly reasonable thing that they are going to potentially do, given the circumstances that they live with. If this was a previous CBA, I would be like, all for it. I understand. Let's bring back KCP. Don't lose the asset. Yada, yada, yada. That is not the world we live in. Yesterday's price is not today's price on this thing. And it's going to suck for a lot of teams. But as I said, Denver can win a championship without KCP. They can win a championship with Christian Brown as their starting two guard. Because here's the thing, it doesn't mean he has to play 32 minutes a night. He can play 24. And you can play around with that spot. But if you keep Murray, Porter, Gordon, and Jokic together, and you build a versatile team around those four, then you're going to be okay. I promise. That is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Number 38 and Bet Online. The second round of the draft is tomorrow, Thursday, during the middle of the day. I asked Calvin Booth if he expects anything to happen. He said no. So I will probably podcast tomorrow night again and give some overall larger thoughts on this thing, where the rest of the league is at. Give some thoughts on the Mikal Bridges trade that happened, things of that nature. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for being a good audience. Thank you for being interactive tonight. Really appreciate all the back and forth. Let's get passionate. Let's have a fun time. Let's do it in a cordial manner. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button on the way out. I will talk to you guys tomorrow night.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.